Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive and positively getting ready for football, ready for the baseball offseason, and certainly getting ready for turkey. Speaking of turkeys, we had a trade in the baseball parlance here this week. If you're on our WNST text service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, you probably were as shocked as I was shocked, as Luke was shocked to be sending it out. Grayson Rodriguez, not a part of the Orioles' plans. I don't know if that's shocking to me, Luke, other than the fact that I said to you, I said to Alan, I said to Ron Cassie, even Shinen, I had him on when you weren't around. All the baseball chats I've had, I'm like, there are going to be some feelings hurt here because underperforming young players get dealt. I don't know if number one pitching prospects do, unless you believe their arm is shot. But there was a lot of speculation about this and say, did Mike Elias just rip off the Angels?
I mean, no, he did not rip off the Angels, and that I would say that even if Grayson Rodriguez barely pitches again, because
They got
it's
a
one
Major League Baseball player back for him. Is that how you look at it?
for 1 year. I mean, for 1 year. Look, first of all, Grayson Rodriguez n should never have been in the plans for 2026. And what I mean by that, it's what I said to you after this, even before the season ended. To me, I had him over off to the side, right? I wasn't planning on him being one of my starting five. I didn't know what I was going to get from him. And my thought all along was, if he's healthy, then that's a good problem and you figure it out. Whether that means you put him in the rotation and someone like Tyler Wells at the back of the rotation goes into the bullpen, whether that means Grayson Rodriguez potentially becomes a reliever, whatever it is. So I'm completely unmoved by the response to this being, oh, well, this means the Orioles are going out and getting big time pitching. They didn't need to trade Grayson Rodriguez to do that. Those are not mutually exclusive concepts right there. So I reject that part of it. That said, when you look at the reality that Grayson Rodriguez, even with his injury history over the last 18 months, still carries 4 years of team control, through 2029. When you still look at the arm, when you look at the history of pitchers that, yes, elbow injuries and arm injuries are not good, but you can also find plenty of guys that do find health eventually and can contribute. And, there are plenty of pitchers that have been written off, and then suddenly a year or two later, they contribute.
Well,
So
he's different than a lot of them because he was a way higher ceiling guy than most guys.
And the
Maybe the
arm.
highest ceiling guy we've had here in a generation, really.
I mean, he's up there. He's certainly up there in that regard. And granted, guys, generally speaking, throw harder now than they did 20 years ago, let alone 40 or 50 years ago. But that's certainly part of it. And I will say this, and this is why I would reject any. And I don't think too many people. And I'm not suggesting you were even saying this. I don't think anyone thinks that the Orioles pulled a fast one here. I think everyone kind of sees what this is. This is very clearly a statement that they have no meaningful confidence whatsoever that Grayson Rodriguez can stay healthy. Because if you did, this is a terrible trade. I mean, just from the standpoint of it's 1 year of Taylor Ward, who, don't get me wrong, is a nice hitter. He's a nice player. He had 36 home runs last year. He will help their offense. I wish he wasn't the same kind of prototype of guys that they have, which are high power, high strikeout. I will say this, he does walk more than some of these other guys. He has a better, he's better in terms of not chasing quite as much. At the same time, he batted 228 and had a 315 on base percent or 317 on base percentage this past year. It's honestly, he's a healthier version of Tyler O'Neill. That's kind of what Taylor Ward is.
Well, they've been chasing down the Santander stats
And
from 2 years ago,
don't
right?
get me
That
wrong, I'm not saying that can't help them. However, if you've heard me talk a lot about this offense going back to the beginning of last year and how woeful it was and how that was a way bigger part of this thing than just pointing to and saying pitching, pitching, pitching. Is this aiming high enough for what I was hoping their offense to do? Not really. And I would say now, am I optimistic they're going to add another meaningful bat? Probably not. So now it's all eyes on the pitching and what they do with, starters. The interesting part about this is when you make a move like this, when you trade a young pitcher, Even an off injured one, still a young pitcher who carries club control through 2029, and you trade him for a rental. And look, Taylor Ward might have a really good year in Camden at Camden Yards, especially with a shorter left field, obviously, when they moved the fence in last year, and that gives them a right-handed bat that obviously they coveted last year, and Tyler O'Neill didn't work out well. But he's going to be 32 next month, and he signed through, has 1 year of arbitration left. He's going to be a free agent at this time a year from now. Is that, generally speaking, the profile of a player that you're going to extend? Generally not. So this is basically a rental. So when you do this, just in a vacuum, when you trade a pitcher who has years of club control left for someone who's going to be a free agent at the end of this coming season, that's a signal that you're kind of all in, right? You're kind of all systems go for 2026. So then, if that's the case, and believe me, I'm not sitting here ready to throw a parade about Taylor Ward coming to Baltimore, but he makes the lineup better. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a good player. He's a good guy who's hit home runs and okay defense in left field. He's
But let's
been
not
like,
project him to be what he's not going to be.
I
He's
mean, he's
not going to
not,
hit 280. He's not going to have an OB on base percentage of
he's probably not
400.
going to hit 36 home runs again, right? I mean, but he'll help them, right? I'm not saying that Taylor Ward can't play, but when you make a move like this, and this is the category that I keep finding myself in when I look at most of the Orioles' moves that they've made since trading for Corbin Burns, it's always, okay, I can follow what they're trying to do here, but what's next? What's the caveat? What else are they going to do? Right? And
Well, you
that's,
feel like it's a setup to a bigger play, and
yeah. And
unless it was Corbin Burns, it hasn't been.
right. And that's where I look at this thing and say, okay, if you've traded, if you've given up on Grayson Rodriguez, and that's fine. Although I certainly would have looked for a different type of player than what they got, because Taylor Ward can't play center field. Does this mean Colton Cowser's now your everyday center fielder? I don't know if I want Colton Cowser to be an everyday player. He feels like more of a platoon guy for me at this point until he proves otherwise. But the point is, now when you have him in left field, unless they're going to take a longer look at Dylan Beavers in center, and Cowser defensively looked solid in center field over the last 6 or 7 weeks. My issues were with his bat. So, but because you've added another corner outfielder type fits this mold, now I look at this and say, okay, what else are you going to do? Who else is going to be in the center field picture? And now with Grayson Rodriguez, who, let's face it, was a wild card. Again, I wasn't penciling him into my rotation. So for me, that part of the argument, you didn't need to trade Grayson Rodriguez to go out and sign a frontline starting pitcher. You needed that anyway, right? You needed to sign a frontline starting pitcher and still probably a back end guy to kind of slot in with the other options that you have that fit that mold.
Well, also what you could buy in the free agent market to buy an outfielder to not give up a pitcher you have team
Right,
control for 4 years. I mean, it really, really speaks to how sour
sure.
they were on Grayson Rodriguez.
Yeah.
It wasn't a little sour. It wasn't, we're going to give him a D plus and hope for a B minus at some point. It's an F,
That
like
they just wanted to
literally.
be done with them. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and that would speak to me that, again, I don't have a press credential. I'm not allowed to ask questions. But back in the era when guys like me were, you would find out like he's got a this problem, a that problem, a person,
Yeah.
whatever the mojo is. I call it Rocky Coppinger disease, which is, you come close but you don't make it. And then there's Eric Bedard disease where you make it and you're such a dick that they want to get rid of you.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that is in any of these cases. I do know the guy had a $1 million arm. I mean, we
Yeah.
saw that at one
Sure.
point he had a $1 million arm, but so did Dylan Bundy, so did Hunter Harvey. We go through the list of all of whatever disappointments would be. Chris Tillman had a $1 million arm for a minute. I mean, there were some guys that trended in that direction. You don't usually do this with 24, 25-year-old guys.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, he's 26 now, so, because he's been around a few years, right? I mean, that's the reality. I will say this, personality-wise, I don't know. I have wondered, and I've alluded to this, I have wondered if they've been on the same page in terms of how he trains, in terms of his mechanics. Remember, go back to last spring. There was a lot of talk about how he had kind of changed his mechanics and, trying to
Well, also
elite.
remember you and I went to Sarasota and they didn't bring him up at one point, right? And Palmer was involved in that at the beginning of a year. Is he ready? Is he not ready? And we're still like 2 years later waiting for the start to begin again, right? Like literally.
So I look, I don't have a problem with them concluding whatever they feel about him as a pitcher, whether there's anything with the personality.
Well,
Again,
they
that's
know
more
a lot more than
speculative,
we know,
but
for
they know a lot.
sure.
And obviously they know a lot more looking at the medicals, right? Looking at the MRI, looking at the imaging for his elbow, for his shoulder. He's had multiple lat strains, all of that. He had the bone deposits removed from his elbow. He had that surgery in August. Was that causing everything, or was that just kind of a subplot here that really isn't necessarily explaining why he continues to have lat strains, right? So I'm fine in a big picture sense if you looked at the medicals, you looked at the makeup, whether there were personality clashes. Again, that's the more speculative part of this. I have no problem with the idea that you come to the conclusion you want to trade him. However, the return, I'm very meh on. I just am. 1 year of a 32-year-old outfielder who,
To
hit
me,
some
you
home
can
runs.
buy that player. You don't
And
have to
that's
give a pitcher up to get that player. And
right, right.
that's the part that.
And that's where I'm a little more frustrated that they didn't do something to diversify what they had. Like, for example, was there another deal out there to be made that you could go out and get someone that's a center fielder? Right. I saw a few fans here and there bring up Luis Robert for the White Sox, for example. And that's just an example, right? And look, his offense has fallen off a cliff the last year or two, but he's still a great defensive center fielder. And there's some upside there. There's some intrigue there that I don't necessarily feel the same way about with Taylor Ward. So that's where my frustration is a little bit more is, could you have done better in terms of a deal, right? And let me be clear. I'm not saying that meant you're good. I'm not suggesting you trade Grayson Rodriguez for someone's number two starting pitcher. I'm not saying that at all. But something that felt a little bit different compared to just adding another corner
Well,
outfielder
let's be
that.
honest. If they dealt Rutschman in this kind of a deal, we would scratch our head too and just say like they're both damaged goods, right?
I
From
mean,
where you are.
Grayson. Adley Rutschman's not even close to the same. Adley Rutschman's still a valuable player. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez was unavailable the last year and a half, right?
Fair enough.
So I understand the point you're trying to make there, but Adley Rutschman would still
Well, to your point to say,
be
can we get
valuable.
more for Grayson Rodriguez? 27 general managers might look and say,
And
he's
maybe they
freaking
couldn't.
hurt. He's
But
freaking hurt.
you know what I
Or,
would
but if
say
you
then?
stink, you're like, let's get him better. He'll be our Trevor Rogers next opening day, a
And
year from now, right?
that's kind of where I fall, where
And we
if this
gave
is.
up an outfielder we didn't want, we're a bad team, and let him hit 30 home runs somewhere else.
Yeah, so because you look at this, Nestor, I mean, when you're talking about someone that's under team control in 2029, that's a long time. That's a long time. I mean, think about how you and I were talking about Trevor Rogers 12 months ago, and now he's going to be their number two or number three starter, right? I mean, it speaks to how things can change. So for me, I guess that's where some of my frustration lies in the sense of, I just gave up 4 years of whatever Grayson Rodriguez can be. And look, that might end up being nothing. Is Taylor Ward truly going to put them over the hump this year? Well, you better go out and make four other impact moves of some nature, of some form. A frontline starting pitcher, maybe another starting pitcher. You need two impact relievers, right? So I guess for me, if this is the first move of a series of other high impact additions that they're going to make to truly say, hey, we are going to truly optimize our chances to win in 2026, fully acknowledging that, yeah, Grayson Rodriguez, take this year out of the equation. Let's say because the Angels are going to have to manage his innings, even if he's healthy, right? He's not going to throw 180 innings after having not pitched since July of 24. So take this year out of it. You're acknowledging, okay, even if Grayson Rodriguez becomes something for them in 27 and 28 and 29, Taylor Ward's going to help us because he's going to help our offense. And we added these two starting pitchers and we added these two guys to the back end of our bullpen. And three of our young guys took steps forward, and Gunnar Henderson looked more like the 24 version of him than the 25. So, lay out your scenario, and then, okay, I don't know if this deal will ever be viewed as a home run, because again, 1 year of Taylor Ward. I mean, okay, if he hits 50 home runs this year, then and Grayson Rodriguez never throws another pitch, then yeah, the
Yeah, if he
Orioles won
looks
the
like
deal.
Nelson Cruz or
But
Santander, we would take that for sure.
on the flip side, if Grayson Rodriguez never becomes the ace that anyone thought he could be, but let's just say he becomes a league average starting pitcher in 27, 28, and 29, the Orioles lost that deal then, most likely. So, it's a very low bar for the Angels to win this deal, in my opinion. So, look, whatever that means in the future, and let me be clear, I'm not at all suggesting this is going to turn into Glenn Davis for Curt Schilling for Glenn Davis. I don't think that's going to happen. Let's be clear. But at the same time, it is still a hypothetical asset that
I don't know who they traded
still.
for Chris Davis. We should talk about that, right? Like, say if he gives you 1 year of
Traded
Chris
Koji.
Davis, Koji,
Remember,
that's
they
right.
traded Koji and they got Chris Davis and Tommy Hunter, who was useful for them for a few years. So we're going to see. I'm mad on the trade. I can't sit here and say that I love the trade. And I'm also not going to sit here and say that I despise this necessarily or anything like that.
Well, it wrecks them if Grayson Rodriguez is a 20-game winner for the Angels in 27 or 28, right?
Although the
Like,
skeptic would say, did they have any idea how to keep him healthy? Did they have any idea to fix him? I would say this is where this is probably a little more of a point in favor of the Orioles with this deal. If you look at the Angels' track record with pitchers in recent years, I can't say that I love Grayson Rodriguez's chances of ever realizing his
you think they
potential.
found the right sucker?
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
And look, I
Yeah.
mean, he could go out there the second week of spring training and his elbow, they say he needs Tommy John surgery, and then you're talking about he's out for all of this year and part of next year. So, this
And
coming year,
every
maybe.
general manager who had any
Yeah.
Taylor
So,
Ward or whatever would have known
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So I don't know. And I
You
guess
don't
for
deal
me,
for him without checking his medicals big time, right?
well, you're checking it, but at the same time, that I'm get this is what the Angels are probably thinking. We stink. Taylor Ward's going to be a free agent after this year. There's a good chance we were either going to look to trade him at some point this winter anyway, or trade him at the deadline come July. So we don't know. You're not going to get an asset in return that has the level of intrigue and hypothetical upside that Grayson Rodriguez is going to bring us, which includes 4 years of team control counting 26. So even if he ends up being nothing, even if he just becomes a late inning reliever down the line, this is worth it for us to at least take that swing, because what else are you really getting for Taylor Ward? And on the flip side, and this is why I keep coming back to this, and this was your point as well, if you're the Orioles, I don't know how you make this trade unless you look at the medicals, you look at where he's been in the last year and a half, you look at the level of urgency for 2026, you have perhaps talked to a half dozen other teams or a dozen other teams, and they were either not interested or were offering less than Taylor Ward even. And you say, this might be our last chance to get anything of value for him whatsoever. Because if he has another completely lost season, or he, pitches in eight games and he's on the shelf again, or whatever it is, then we are talking about someone who has no more value left.
Well,
And
they
then you're
don't think
talking.
he has ace stuff, because if you thought he had ace stuff, you wouldn't deal him for a 1 year rental for a player you could sign for 12
Yeah,
million
and
bucks.
I don't think it's even that. I don't think that's even. I think it's way more. They have such a low degree of confidence in the physical part at this point in time, meaning staying healthy. I don't think it has to do with his profile of how hard. I mean, he threw hard, right? I mean, had a great change. Good change up. Was still developing. Some of his secondary stuff, but we saw it. He flashed it the second half of 23. To me, I don't know how you justify this trade unless, if you're the Orioles, you have just such an extremely low degree of confidence in his health, that he's going to be able to stay healthy, and you thought this was your last best chance to get something for him. Would I have liked something different, something that profile differently, you know, someone that could play center field rather than just being a corner outfielder, sure. But if this is the best they could do, I'll say this. Well, then take advantage of your 1 year of Taylor Ward then. Don't waste it. Don't make these half measure type moves that we've seen them make. Don't just worry about improving on the margins, because if you do that, then I like this deal even less, right? If you don't truly maximize everything else you need to do, I like this deal even less, because it is only 1 year of Taylor Ward. So, you know, I'll say this, just like all the moves they made last year, it's like, okay, in a vacuum, I can follow what you're doing, I suppose, but there better be more on the way. And now they're on the clock, because you can't even, you know, you can't sell the Grayson Rodriguez even as a wild card anymore. So you better go out there and get a number one starter, and go out there and go get two high leverage relievers, and go get another back end starter to fortify your depth in that regard. Because if you don't do those things, then I like this deal even less, because you're not really having a great chance to win in 26 anyway. And if that's the case, then hold on to Grayson Rodriguez and see if you can get him healthy, even if it's for 2027 and beyond.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery soon, right after Thanksgiving. We'll have some fresh dates out for you. Also, big thanks to our friends at GBMC for looking after me. Colonoscopy this week, reminding everyone, get your PSA checked. Hopefully, I will check out okay. I'll be mentioning that out on social media if I'm clean and clear and good to go for the next, hopefully, 57 years. They say it's about 10 years, by the way, at GBMC. You know, I would say on the baseball thing, if you're on the WNST tech service, you're going to get it first if it happens. But this segment did force me to figure out when the winter meetings are and where. So they are in Orlando and they begin December 8th. So you keep saying they better get a number one starter, get a number one. Man, that's a difficult thing to do, and it's an expensive thing to do. And sometime between here and Valentine's Day, they're going to have to get that part of it done. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.